So I have to say that I changed my topic of talk a little bit because there was an overlap with the talk of Anton Korotkin, which is going to deliver in the afternoon. So what I will do is that I will start by giving some general introduction or some general motivation why I care about graph complexes. And then the second part of this the first part of the talk is based on joint work with Benoit Fess and Victor Turchin. By the way, Turchin and Turchin is the same person. Just that he worked first in France and then in America. But now he is American officially, so this is a correct name. So the underlying motivation is the following. What I want to understand is spaces of embeddings of manifolds. So M and N are manifolds, let's say M manifolds, N manifolds, and you want to understand the spaces of embeddings. So it can all go under the name of not zero, if you want. The idea is, this can be given the structure of a topological space. And the idea is, can you understand this topological space? Can you understand what the components are, what the homotopies? Maybe if you're from not zero, you want to remark in general, these spaces, when the codimension is larger than 3, I think, then these spaces will typically be connected. So it's not, the question is not to distinguish different connected components in this case, but really studying the homotopies of these spaces. And how is one going to do this? This is a topological problem. I'm not a topologist, so I can't attack it directly. But fortunately, topologists have come my way and translated this problem into a more algebraic one. What they found is that at least if the codimension is large enough, what they can show is at least if n minus n squared will be 3, then these embedding spaces are weakly equivalent to mapping spaces of algebraic objects, and these algebraic objects are essentially framed configuration spaces of points on the manifold. So conf n, this is a space of embeddings of a couple of n-dimensional disks in M, framed for n. And these modules, these objects form some algebraic structure given by disks in disks. You can understand them as right modules over the frame. I think you have seen these operats in the previous talk of Benoit, at least. If not, you have to speak up and explain. So, also, a graduate student who doesn't know what's a little disks operat? Could I explain it again, or was it clear for me to explain it, right?
Maybe you just have to say what the framing means.
Ah, okay, fine. So, the little disks operats are. In this operator, I only draw it in two dimensions, but of course you can obviously in the obvious way upgrade it. So space of arity R is a space of configurations of R many disks which are rectilinearly embedded. So which means that in the embedding you can move the disk and you can scale it, but you cannot otherwise deform it. And for the framed little disk operat, you just allow an addition rotation of the disk. So for example, I can mark the north pole of the disk, and then what I can do is I can rotate. Of course, here in higher dimensions, one direction will not suffice to specify the orientation, but you need to have a complete frame. You have not one vector, but n or so many vectors.
And can you review how conf-m and conf-n are modules?
Yes, so you have your manifold. If you want, I can, let's talk about the case conf-m. And I can even simplify that. It's an embedding of a disk in the manifold. Of course, in general, manifold doesn't make sense to talk about rectilinear, right? Because there's no reverse direction. Furthermore, I can simplify it slightly. Instead of talking about manifolds up to some compactification, I can talk about configurations of points with a frame chosen at this point. And now, if I let's talk about this. Let's bring that to this. We have a map from the disk into the manifold, and now I have a configuration of disks like this. What I do is I take this configuration and I glue it in place of the disk over here. Right? I already have a map from the disk into this manifold, so I just compose the map. And this gives me, to draw it a little bit larger so you can see something, so here was the disk. Then I put in my configuration, and then I forget the larger disk.
So conf M is a space of embeddings from the M disk to the middle M.
Yes. And the same for conf N, but here you need to take care that the dimension of N may be larger than this M. So you have only a partial framing at your points, you have still the smaller dimension of this embedded here.
So conf comes with the integer N. So this
So but I will not talk about these objects. So much today, I will only care about the syntax case. But the goal is that in this algebraic setting, I claim one can understand it, so one can understand the rational homotopy. And the claim is that the answer can be expressed by combinatorial objects through graph complexes. So, what you, from a high level perspective, or what this will do, if everything is successful, it will solve higher dimensional knot theory, at least as long as this condition is satisfied, and that you have really complete invariants.
So the m is the small m, the dot m right there, is the dimension of m?
Yes. And so n is n dimensional, and n is n dimensional, and we require that n is perfect.
You know.
So I do not understand how the same operand adds on n.
Yeah, you see, what you need to pick here is you don't need to specify, embed a larger disk. You can, but a smaller disk, of course you can embed a larger disk and then embed the smaller disk as a equatorial plane.
Okay.
You need parallelization, no. If I work in the frame setting, then no. Yeah. What I will do today is I work on a very simplified, restricted setting where one can get rid of the framing. So if you have a parallelization of the manifold, then you can get rid of this frame. So this is kind of the high level picture. I cannot present you a complete solution, maybe the Diablerie 2016 or 17. But not now. So what we will do today is actually we'll work about the work in the base case.
E-M.
Yes, this is the
and this M is related with this M.
Yes, this M is equal to. Requires several things. In particular, this requires to find rational models for all the players involved. What Anton will talk about in the afternoon is how to find rational models, at least to a certain degree, for Frank Yam operas, and how to find rational models for these things. As I said, postponed. Which I will not deliver today in this generality. There is a rational homotopy type in terms of have contexts. If here now people do not see your immediate object, because n minus m greater equal to 3 just excludes standard knot theory, right? Because there is n minus m equal to 2. And also similar higher dimensional knot theory in the co-dimensions too. But at least in those cases, what you will have is a map in one direction. So that you can transfer homotopy groups from here to here. So we'll have knot invariants, but you don't have the guarantee that they are complete. So you won't be able to kill off the problem, you just will be able to have a large set of knot invariants. Anyway. You embed Rn into Rn in the standard way, and then you say you look for embeddings that can do something in a compact subset, but at infinity this should be the standard. And that people typically write with a letter a D. The second simplification that people typically do in this case is that they don't look at the spaces of embeddings, but they look at the space of embeddings modulo inversions. So that means the elements here are an embedding of Rn into Rn plus a path from this embedding to the standard embedding. But this path only has to is required to pass through immersions, not through embeddings. So kind of things can the knot can go through itself. That's fine. And this is I won't explain how. But this precisely takes care of the framing. This allows you to get rid of the framing. Mm-hmm.
And is it another of the
Lie commutative
relation? Is it a what?
Mm-hmm.
Is it
another?
No.
Of
the
Lie commutative? No. It's
of Lie commutative.
I don't think so.
No, definitely not. It's in knot theory, it's like a path from the knot to the unknot, but via immersions, and that's actually equivalent to framing.
You can ignore it. It's just to get rid of the framing. You might even, there are some ways you might come up with, if these manifolds are parallelizable, how you can kill the framing over here. You fix the framing at each point, but for the embedding space, then you need to somehow have a pass from the derivative of the map from M to N, which gives you a certain framing to the standard framing, and this is just what I mean, small point. And in this case, because you fix the behavior at infinity, in fact, what you have is, and that it's all not my doing. It's just people from topology. I couldn't do this. So, but people from topology, what's it? You can understand this spaces now as bimodules, because you see if you have a configuration of disk and Rm, you can view Rm itself as an M disk, right? That doesn't matter much. And then you can act also with this operator from the other side, in that you can take your configuration and put it into one of those disks. But I will only spend a minimum amount of time with this, namely what I will do is as a result of why I'm tech. And what they showed is that you can in fact replace this by the opera detecting space from the M opera into the N opera at the cost of putting M plus 1 for U space. So, but understanding this space here is equivalent to, not equivalent, actually better than understanding this space here. And what I will do today is trying to understand this space. Okay. This is our joint project with Ben Wafresse and Deutsch.
Just curiosity, is Hess the Hess from Lausanne?
Yes. Yeah, maybe we should write via Hess Bellwald. There's a last name, I think, in papers. So this is the target. And yeah, well, maybe you know, what it is, well, what this essentially does is it makes the space here less connected, so it shifts the homotopy to the summer. Now, as I said, I'm a little bit simplistic person. Ideally, you want to understand this over Z, so the Z homotopy, integral homotopy groups. I can't do this, so we have to rationalize it. So, actually, what we want to understand is those spaces where you rationalize them. And then it's a rational space, all the homotopy groups will be rational. I don't have anything to say about the integral homotopy. And I will define for you in a second how to get this map in space. But I will do it in an ad hoc way. Let me describe the algebraic set. I said this is algebraic, but still these objects are topological objects. I want to replace them with algebraic objects. But you might know from rational homotopy theory that if you are interested rationally in those spaces, then a model for a space is a differential graded commutative algebra. There's only a slight technical catch that I think Benoit has at least hinted to in this talk, namely, I will ignore this technical point afterwards, but I don't want to lie. In general, these little disks opera, they have operations in arity zero, so with no inputs and one output, and if you insert a operation with arity zero into a disk, you just forget the disk in your configuration. And those things are hard to incorporate in the homotopy theory, hence they will be replaced by what Benoit called the lambda structure. That is a small, small. Then I want to tell you how to compute this mapping space, how to get something concrete that work with. And again, there's some from this homotopy theory, there's an abstract definition to show that this lambda of corporates are a model category and then the mapping space is canonically defined. I will sweep that under the rug. I will give you an alternative ad hoc definition, okay? Don't kill me, because it's really a technical point that at this level where I'm giving the talk, it's largely irrelevant. So they have this thing should be free and this thing should be co-free. Okay, free and co-free replacements. Let's say here we call the generators. Thank you. this G, you should consider as a deformation complex of corporate maps, of corporate maps between MN and N. And if you have done a little bit of homotopy theory, it's a usual story transcends to this point. So G is defined such that the more atom elements in G are in one-to-one correspondence to E.g. of corporate maps. Forget the Hopf structures, and most of you know how to do this probably, and know how to define a DGV algebra such that the more components are one to one corresponds to the foreground maps. And we just have this Hopf up here. Now, how do we define the map in space? Co-generators here, and it will be isomorphic as a vector space to the Hom from the co-generators here to the co-generators here. I didn't want to introduce extra notation because there are a few technical points.
Is the depth of some map of cooperants? Is it a deformation theory of some?
It is a deformation complex, but you see the deformation theory for Hopf operands in the DG setting. It hasn't been existing, and one piece of our work is to show that such a thing exists, show that there's a DGV or an infinity algebra structure, and show this property already. I mean, it has, not to say something wrong, there's an official setting, analogous constructions have been made by Benoit in this book, but kind of we translated it into the L infinity setting, which is for me more.
And by derivative, you mean derivation with respect to cooperants and multiplication.
Exactly. So it should be a co-derivation with respect to the cooperant structure, and derivation with respect to the commutative algebra. Again, the definition is rather technical. I think I'm already boring half of the audience right now. This is too technical a presentation. So no problem, you can speak up. It's going to get a little bit more concrete in a minute. But anyway, now I can define this mapping space, and what you take is the so-called nerve of your infinity algebra. I call sometimes also called Morakaton space. Morakaton space of G. At first, this is the simplicial Z, and the n simplices are the same as the Morakaton elements in G. Tensor product with differential forms, the polynomial differential forms on an N sequence. This is an official set. And this will be our mapping space. So of course, an official set, you can get a topological space just by taking some realization. So, what will be the connected components? The connected components here will correspond to gauge equivalence classes of Morakaton elements. So first of all, if you put the zero simplex here, then it's just, K, you can remove it. You just have the Morakaton elements in G. So the zero simplices are just the Morakaton elements. They correspond to next. So one cells in this complete space. Here you have the ones in text, which is an interval. And you can check that the ones in these are simply families of Morakaton elements connected by gauge transformation. That means that you have a one cell for connecting two or connecting a path of gauge equivalent Morakaton elements. That means in particular that the connected components in your space will be gauge equivalence classes of Morakaton elements. and so on, and so on. So you have a, let's say you have a, such a path. Now the two cells will be like homotopies between the paths, and so on, and so on. And I can even forget about this initial structure that is likely by theorem of Gertrude, which is relatively recent, and I actually couldn't imagine that people haven't done this before, but apparently it was the first. And his theorem is that if you want to compute the case homotopy group of this mapping space, and for homotopy groups, of course, I have to pick a base point, right? Base points, remember, are Markov elements. That's called Markov element. No, M is for this vector. It's called alpha. Alpha is a Markov element, which is a base point with respect to which I could compute the homotopy groups. And he showed that they are the same as the K minus first homology groups of the DVV algebra that I get, or the infinity algebra I get from G by twisting with alpha. So what we have done at this stage is we eliminated all topology and we eliminated all the visual objects just in favor of GG objects and infinity algebras. And then this is for me a nice setting where I can start to work. So let me take. I have. Where did we start? Half.
32 half, minutes right? ago.
Right. Okay. Then I'm still in time.
So this is some kind of also a rational statement, or not?
This theorem will be that. The realization of this mapping space will be, it makes the definitions correctly of the right hand side, will be the mapping space or the function space between operands E M and E and Q.
No, I didn't mind this theorem of Verbruch.
The ground field here is of characteristic zero, yes. So here we are in the regression.
So, like,
I don't need to take a product with K because it's already regression.
The space
is rational.
Mm-hmm. So, you can tensor product.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe let me write over characteristic zero. So now we want to study this. So we want to ideally give a list of connected components, and for each connected component, pick one more Markov element and give a list of those groups. That will constitute a complete solution to the problem. So that will constitute a complete solution to the classification of knots in codimension for these three. Or the classification of knots means not, of course, as I said, distinguishing different knots because this knot space is simply connected in higher codimensions also. That doesn't matter, but understand the homotopy groups. And the answer will be expressible through a graph complex. So we saw a graph complex earlier. And let me just recall in a little bit informal way, the combinatorial way, how these graph complexes are built. So I like to work in the combinatorial way, but if you want to discuss science and the precise combinatorial prefactors, it's better to have some algebraic backup to control these things, so you don't have to compute it every time. Let's start in the combinatorial setting. So let's call it ordinary graph complexes. GCN. They are, again, I will define it in a little bit better way later in the second part of this talk. For now, just stick with this combinatorial definition. Okay? It's a series of morphism classes of ordinary undirected graphs. This one plus 1/2 this one whatever plus possibly more. And
sorry, when you say series you mean just sums.
There are infinite series. So infinite
oh,
sums.
Infinite.
If you want, I can replace series by possibly infinite sums. Something. And in sums, actually, linear combinations. Few linear combinations. Very differential, which is given by splitting vertices. So what you do is, let's say you start with the graph gamma, you take delta gamma, what this does is you sum over all vertices, and then for each vertex, you split that vertex. So you say here's the graph gamma, and then here's the vertex me. And what you do is you can take away the vertex and plot in that place two vertices connected by neck. And you sum over all ways of reconnecting the dangling edges to these two vertices. So let me write it tutorially. So here you have your vertex. You can check that if you check the signs and prefactors correctly, then that is squared to zero. Let me explain what the grading is on this space. The grading we need for discussing the signs and degrees. Of the graph gamma, we take the number of vertices minus 1 times this integer n here, which I so far have swept under the rough. So there's an integer n on which the definition depends. And the n enters the definition of the degree. So vertices have degree n. Minus n in the notation, using for this term. Plus number of edges times n minus 1. So the degree of a vertex is equal to minus n, the degree of an edge is equal to n minus 1. The differential creates one vertex and one edge, so the differential has to be minus 1 is equal. So these are the ordinary graph coordinates. We also need one more species, one more comment. One restricts the arity of the vertices in this graph context. How you do it is a bit of a matter of choice, but the context is I will most often use, I will denote by GCN2, meaning that the vertices are at least bivalent. This is a simple species of graph context. Are there any questions? Well, to the extent I explained it here, which is of course not very deep, it is. These complexes we saw yesterday in the gaze talk, so I feel okay by just discussing it. Fine? There's another word which I call Gary graph complexes, which are simply graphs with external legs. Like if you're a physicist, then you would interpret these graphs here as Feynman diagrams, and these are vacuum Feynman diagrams. Then make a graph complex out of non-vacuum Feynman diagrams. The non-vacuum Feynman diagrams, they will have some legs. At the end of the legs, and for physicists, you would plug in your observables, but of course, we'd be using the formula. Graph here, and then at the one point that there can be external legs or hairs. If there's a native speaker, I never know whether hairs is actually a plural or not, but I don't care. I think it's them. So here a graph with hairs, and these are the bold graphs. And I'm looking like HVZ, MN, HVZ for hairy graph complex. And now, as you might have noticed, I've kind of introduced a new parameter which I call M, because we have an additional choice, namely what degree to give to the hairs, right? Let's say we make a small bullet at the end of the hairs, and then we say this has to have degree minus M. And if you give those hairs degree minus m, then you get the correct degree. So here you would have you would have an analogous formula. Do you want me to write it down? And differential is the same as before by summing over all vertices and splitting the vertex.
Differential at bullets.
Not at the bullets.
But they will be zero anyway. They can fall out.
Depends on the precise definition you make. Yeah, but yes. Yeah.
So you can apply, but it will be zero.
Can apply. So you apply, let's say, to the internal vertices, and all possible ways. And yesterday we learned in the Gaze talks that this spaces that we see here, this ordinary graph complexes, they come with a DGD algebra structure. They're not just a complex, but a DGD algebra. And these hairy graph complexes are also DGD algebras. And how to compute the bracket of two graphs? So, let's say I have a graph gamma with a couple of hairs, and I have a graph gamma prime with a couple of hairs. How do I compute the bracket? First of all, I take my graph gamma, then I pick one of the hairs, so I sum over all possible choices, pick one of the hairs, and I connect it to vertices of gamma prime in all possible ways. So here I sum over all ways of connecting this one here to vertex of gamma prime. And then I take minus 1 to the degree of gamma prime, of the same with gamma and gamma prime change. Then I pick a pair of gamma prime, connect it to vertices of gamma in all possible ways. And then I get another graph. And you can take it, so it's a Lie bracket, it satisfies the Jacobian identity, and it's compatible with the differential.
So you connect pair to pair, no?
No, not hair to hair. You connect hair to vertex. That is important. So, for example, I take the bracket. The simplest graph you can build is just a
one. You create a vertex with an additional valency on the other graph. So
yes, there's one vertex which has an additional value. Mm-hmm. So, in particular, people in knot theory, they are familiar with these diagrams when all vertices are trivalent. then I think Rho would call it something like trans characters, right? If M is 1.
Jacobi diagram, unitravelant graph.
Okay, and this differential will take you out of the subspace where all vertices are trivalent. So it will, this bracket will take you out of the subspace. So the simplest graph you can make, for example, is just a graph which has two hairs but no vertices, right? So the two bullets at the ends but no internal vertices. And let's say that we have some other graph gamma over here. Let's take haven't checked the symmetry, so that's fine, but that's unit. So in this case, you see this graph has no internal vertices, so the term here will be zero because there's no way I can be connecting the hair. So the only thing I can do is I take a hair from here and connect it here. So what this will be, now there's some symmetry factor because I can connect it in several ways. I could connect it here, I could connect it here, I could connect it here, I could connect it here. So for example, graphs like this and then the graphs like this. Now, there's some symmetry factor here, two hairs, and here you have two ways each of putting the hair, so I think you have a factor, an overall factor of 4. But this factor depends a bit on the conventions you take. Now, there's another point that I have kind of swept under the rug so far. I consider the individual objects, the vertices and the hairs and the edges, equipped with a certain degree. Now, the point that I have swept under the rug so far is that the graph has some symmetries that are odd with respect to the permutation of all these objects. Then I would kill the graph. So for example, in typical cases, this graph here would actually be zero because these whole hairs here would be odd. And if you interchange them, then I have an odd symmetry. But I do not, it's not relevant for the present discussion.
What is the degree of the bracket?
Zero. So the definition of the degree of the graphs is made so that it's zero. So let's maybe I write it down. The degree of the graph, gamma. Number of internal vertices times minus n plus the number of edges times 1 minus n plus the number of pairs times number of pairs minus 1 times minus n. And what this does is it kills one of those and leaves all other things the same.
Should have been minus 1.
So then the degree
converges.
Yeah.
No, but the next one.
Right. So here this number of vertices minus 1, and the definition of this minus 1 is made precisely. So if you take two graphs, and you will have 2 minus 1s minus 2, but you will kill one of the vertices again.
Doesn't make sense. You're changing one m. How would you compensate it by changing n's?
Yeah, but you're not changing any n's.
So how is the degree going to be zero?
Whereas I've degreed minus m.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
You're killing one external leg.
But it's not only one of the bullets, and the leg is still in the
edge.
Oh,
it's minus one, I see.
The end if you want.
Okay.
And this minus one here is just to make the differential.
Okay, sorry.
Is it bracket to be of degree zero? It's a matter of choice. Leave it away, and the differential will have to be m or minus m.
Sorry.
I know. Very good that people ask questions.
These are bullets what you wrote.
Yes, so these are the things that I put at the end of the so just to mark that these edges are really ending in these are hairs.
So then you said that bullets bear some hair, but no, they.
Let's say we put a small bullet here, but like this.
Bullet is the same as hair, so but it does not continue with an addition of something. So there is no hair attached to the bullet.
So here, this I would call an egg.
Yeah.
And this I would call a
bullet.
Let's call it maybe an external vertex, because a bullet kind of says the internal things, they also look like bullets.
And then the hair is what?
Yeah, let's say that
this external edge is
can,
a hair.
You can, take this union, take it, consider it as a hair.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's not. Hair does need to be rigorously defined. It's like, I think I will never put it into the formula.
We see that there is an external vertex with a with the
yes. Now let me announce the result. The answer is not easy. You have to distinguish several cases depending on N and M. So first let us work in codimension at least. Let me first start this agenda. So for n greater equal to m greater than 1. So m is at least 2 now. We have the mapping space from m 3 and q is really equivalent to the merge MN. So we consider this as a V-algebra. So in particular, if you want to compute the rational homotopy groups, you have to find the marker point here corresponding to a certain connected component, and then twist it by this marker point and compute the homology of this. This will give us the rational homotopy groups of this space. And what they start is this is a relatively complicated space to define. I kind of sweat the technicalities under the rug, but it's very, very hard to in the form you have it compute with. But here you have replaced it by a combinatorial object for which you can compute this relative ease. Of course you cannot, I cannot give you closed form solutions for what the homology of the graph complex is for every given more atonement. But there are some constraints and what I can say will be the subject of the second problem.
So here so the dimension gap is not from this theorem, it's from the theorem which realizes it in topology.
We don't have a dimension problem.
Okay.
The algebra is it. So this was for m greater or equal to 2. Maybe I have to write greater or equal to 2 instead of 1 greater or equal to 2. Now what happens for just n greater or equal to 2, but n equal to 1. The answer is a little bit surprising. I don't know. Here you have the associative operator, little intervals of that, and here is the end of that. It turns out that you have to take HTC MN, but you have to equip it with a much more complicated L-infinity structure. And in fact, this L-infinity structure we already saw yesterday And it turns out that this is the same an affinity structure that was defined in the context of information quantization by Schultier. So what Schultier did, he described it from a strange affinity structure on multi-vector fields. But it turns out that the same operator that acts on the multi-vector fields also acts on the hairy graphs. And hence, you can use the same trick to give you a highly non-trivial affinity structure on this space. And if you equip it with this non-trivial affinity structure, you have the right model for the mapping space from the zone. Small point is, I said non-trivial. Currently, we cannot prove that it is really, we do not know how non-trivial it is. For example, it could be that for the hairy graph complex, it could be quasi-isomorphic to a much simpler structure. We cannot rule that out. We can check that it differs from the standard structure because it acts differently on homology groups. But the homology of this graph complex is unknown, and therefore it is relatively hard to show statements like one affinity structure is really non-trivial because it really requires a quite deep understanding of really what the homology is, or making the right definition. It is a caveat, but I think that really is non-trivial.
So this upper subscript sign means
This prime means that you have a different affinity structure. Mm-hmm. Okay, affinity structure. For the purposes of this talk, I will ignore the issues that come from this different affinity structure. We only work in this setting. This is fine enough for today. This is kind of a separate topic. As I said, it follows that if you take, in the case if you take this homotropy groups of these mapping spaces, then we identify HK minus 1 of the base point alpha, HK minus 1 of HPC. And alpha, if M is 1, you have to put a prime there. Okay? So from this kind of the general result, and now one can start studying the nerve of these hairy graph complexes to make more concrete answers. But what it does so far, it replaces a topological object, an algebraic object, by a combinatorial object. So you have more or less translated the task of understanding to combinatorics, and this is what I like quoting draw.
What?
No.
When did they say that?
You said that. Most understanding is translation to combinatorics. Anyway, so we have this problem, now we want to understand the nerve. Some probabilities, so using the knowledge about the graph homology that we have, we can write down some probabilities. For example, if n minus m is greater than equal to 2, then this mapping space here is simplified. For those of you for which this sounds a bit strange, you see in codimension 2 you don't expect knot spaces to be simply connected, of course. But mind that there is this loop space functor in the middle between the operating mapping space and the knot space, and which makes it less complicated. In particular, what you first corollary, second corollary, this HGC MN have a special feature in that they depend on M and N only through their parity, in fact, up to certain more or less trivial weak rating. But if you have understood HGC MN for four values, then for an even M odd N, odd m, even n odd n, or these four combinations for any even odd choices, then you have understood them all. So there's a sort of hidden periodicity, which is not there on the nose, but only after recreating certain rules. Quite a kind of non-trivial periodicity.
These things are identified as the Gerstenmacher operator.
In particular, this has a generator which is given by the bracket. And this bracket will be mapped to lambda times the bracket. I mean, in relative degrees, it's just one dimensional, so it has to be mapped to multiple of itself. It has to be lambda such that the class of this map to this. And we simply define f of f to be this number. This gives a function that is locally constant, so it's Gaussian variant on these spaces, and we can use it to dissect the space. So for each lambda, we have a separate component of the space. I'm not saying that the component is connected, it splits further depending on the place. Already stealing 5 minutes of your break, I need another 5 minutes. I hope it's fine. It's not.
questions before the break?
In the case M equals N, this heavy complex must be cyclic, right? If you must have it with must have. Because this is the usual full quadratic complex. If M equals N.
Yes.
So therefore it is acyclic. You must have at least one binary vertex, and then homology is zero.
No. No, but what happens is that, you see, here we are in the case, epsilon minus 1 lambda corresponds to connected components which correspond to non-trivial Mora-Kutta element. Now you twist your hairy complex with this non-trivial Mora-Kutta element, and it turns out that the homology of the twisted complex is much smaller than the homology of the original complex and can be identified with non-hairy graph complex. And this putting this extra differential additionally trivializes the derivative. So this is really an effect of the twisting, what you see here.
I see. Okay.
Not the
twisting is making.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. We are waiting for questions, and let's take a coffee break.